flat circle. Everything we've ever done or will do, we're going to do over and over and over again.
Afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Sit around and rest up there for a while.
All right, how about hour number two on a Tuesday, a football cleanup Tuesday for us is normally what we end up doing on a Tuesday, but especially the Tuesday after Texas OU, especially on a Tuesday after Texas OU where Texas loses like that and the Cowboys lose to the Jets. And we kind of had to hit those two things pretty hard yesterday, so trying to clean up some of the rest of it today. Thanks to Sam Pica for producing for us today. I'm Chad Hastings. Sitting across from me, as always, is Kevin Dunn.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys, because we got Rod hanging out here, and Chad, I'll start with you. If you're going to give me your top five in college football, and you can do it any way you want, you can go resume with y'all two. I'd rather get more eyeball with that. Do you guys have a top five? And if you got two teams tied at four, whatever. I mean, you know, don't give me an answer just to give one, but what are y'all seeing? Chad, I'll start with you.
Eyeballing it so far, I would probably go LSU, Ohio State, Bama, and then it's either Clemson or Clemson. I make Clemson four.
Okay.
You asked for a top four or top five?
Give me top five.
And then five, there's a battle between.
That's tough because George is out, tough. Right?
It's OU, it's Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's in there, Oklahoma.
I haven't seen Penn State enough to put them in there.
Wisconsin's D is legit, though.
Since I believe
they are. I think this is one of the best D's we've seen them.
That Wisconsin defense is real deal.
Because of the ability to score with Lincoln Riley, I guess I'd put OU at five. But, okay. I mean, it's either OU or Wisconsin. But right now I'd give LSU and Ohio State the love at the top, Rod.
I'd go Bama, LSU, Ohio State. Honestly, at four, I might go Oklahoma, then Clemson.
Clemson hasn't looked great. I mean, I still think we're giving them love.
Every time I watch them, I'm like, man, it looks so beatable this year. It's so weird.
Right.
And we didn't think they looked that beatable that early.
Yeah, I could see somebody, if you want to put Wisconsin and OU ahead of Clemson, I could live with that, yeah.
But to your point, if Clemson lines up against Oklahoma tomorrow, I'm probably taking Clemson. Yes. I think it'd be really close, but I probably would end up leaning that way.
And they did throttle Florida State like they're supposed to. It's not like that game got close. Like they felt like the rhythm was getting back a little bit.
But Trevor Lawrence he doesn't look like a number one overall pick. He doesn't even look like a first round pick.
Yeah, no. It's not quite
you're right.
What it's been.
You know what I mean? And no Heisman stuff and no All-American stuff, at least right now. And the other thing about Clemson that is worrisome, and Chad, you're right. Florida State, that was the ass kicking they needed to give them. And as much of an S show as Florida State is, we do know that they're going to have some talent. And they're even lacking talent for them. There are going to be some guys there that can play. But they're defense guys. That's where Clemson, to me, it's going to be impossible to reload. Yep. But I thought they'd reload more.
The D-line is you know what? How could they even to what they had last year? Yeah, they had multiple first-round draft picks on that D-line. So I just think they couldn't reload in that way. But, yeah, the front, as overall, I'm not impressed with.
Yeah, and we'll also see, playing this ACC schedule they're about to continue to play, how much are they really getting tested? Because A&M didn't really test them like some people thought they could. Yeah. Plus, they were sluggish in that game. And then there just hasn't been another game. I mean, the North Carolina game, they get out of that one. Yeah. So far, Mac's been the only one to really push them. And then again, I give the LSU the extra love. I would call them my number one, both by what my eyes have seen, and I have to give them credit for who they've played. I give them credit for the road trip to Texas and win the ball game, and now I have to give them credit. I'm not saying I think Florida is necessarily top 10, but they're better than anything Bama's played so far.
Yeah,
Florida to me is a top 10 team for the first time in I don't know how many years, but last year when they were getting top 10 stuff, I know Florida fans probably thought, Kevin, you're being too hard on them. Well, the ones that watch Franks probably weren't. But now that they have a quarterback.
You like them there now?
Yes. I definitely think they're a top 10 team. If they can get some of those defensive guys healthy that have been banged up, they're flying around, man. They could have won that game. They probably should have lost by 7. But they've got a quarterback who can hit people. And what we kind of didn't know, because they were only running jet sweeps with them to get any yards, They got some receivers that can play, Rod.
Yes, yeah, they do.
They finally got a Texas quarterback. There you go.
And where's he from?
He's from Texas, but I don't remember where in Texas. Trask is a Texas guy.
I can tell you, I believe he went to my niece's high school. I believe he's a Manville kid.
Really?
Right about
I'm pretty
that.
Sure that's yeah, what yeah. I saw the yeah. other day.
I know he's Texas, but
went to Manville High School.
He's accurate, and he's a bigger kid than you think. I mean, he's 240, so they were actually running him, even with the strained MCL and the knee brace on. He's a winner, and they got themselves a quarterback. My only question to Dan Mullen would be, was this happening in practice? Is he a James Brown guy where he just turns it on? Because why were you holding on to Franks that long?
Yeah, you gave Felipe the job.
That's a great point.
This cat?
Yeah.
Because that's supposed to be his specialty.
Right, correct? That's his deal.
Dan Mullen is supposed to know a quarterback when he sees one. That's a great point. So to me, this year, there are two games that I get why people have in the past ripped the SEC for one reason or another for style of football and boring games and all that. To me, the cocktail party and LSU-Alabama are two can't-miss ball games now. The way Florida is playing, they can absolutely beat Georgia in that game. And then the LSU-Bama game, like if you're not watching these two offenses right now and want to see them play each other, I can't help you.
When is Wisconsin-Ohio State?
That's 2 weeks away, too.
That's 2 weeks
away. And that one's the Big Ten is big time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that one's going to be sexy. That's with a really good defense versus a really good O. So, yeah, I think you're right. There are a couple of showdowns left.
There's some good ones coming, man.
Some good ones coming.
Yeah. I want to see if Jack Cohn, because you know Ohio State's going to load the box. I want to see if Jack Cohn can make some throws. And it's the question every year with Wisconsin.
Over the top. Right?
Play action.
Yeah.
Can their receivers get open?
Pretty much. Yeah, you know they're going to play man-to-man against them, too.
Oh, of course.
They're not afraid of the Wisconsin receivers.
No, it's been a long time since Lee Evans was suiting up and burning people on the verticals.
Ooh,
you know,
Lee Evans.
And I know you like your white safeties, but
that's old school.
I'm not I don't know.
Wisconsin white safeties, where are you?
Their white safeties are okay. Their white safeties have been playing well.
I don't even know if they have white safeties, by the way. They probably do. It's Wisconsin.
They definitely do.
But that's one of the best Ds out there.
It is.
Before we go any further here, we're talking football, cleaning up some stuff from the weekend. Let's have Kevin tell you once again about Pluckers.
Oh, Pluckers is the best wing bar, the best sports bar in town. Rod got to enjoy it as we did post-game. And you know, if you're going to be somewhere, you're going to be eating after a Texas loss and hanging out. It's a good spot to be. Obviously, we do all of our away game watch parties there, so stop on by. We give away a 55-inch television every single week to one lucky guest. That's courtesy of Audiovisual Consultations. But the great thing about Pluckers, so many different options for people. I was telling Chad yesterday, I've kind of gone to the grilled boneless wings, and they're phenomenal, and you've got so many different flavors you can throw on there. So whatever mood you're in, sweet, sour, hot, whatever you want, they've got it. They've got a lot of different options, which is nice. Don't forget, get to hornfm.com, sign up to become a wingman. What that means is I kick Dave Paul's ass in this game where we pick games against
cockiness.
The spread. And after I kick his ass, then 10 of our listeners, also known as my wingmen, get to watch the next Longhorn game with me with free food and free beer at Pluckers. Chad, it's pluckers.com.
Well, you Doug Peterson over there?
Man.
How confident are you?
Calling his shot. Look at that. I like that.
Here's the difference. I'm calling my shot. This would be like if Doug Peterson did a halftime interview and said, "We're up 28-0.
That's true.
I feel pretty good about the W, guys.
Oh, you've been killing it.
I'm 5-5-0.
It's 5-0 to start the season.
Oh, wow.
But we only have so many more to go.
That's pretty good.
So two teams that are not five.
You're killing it in the other one.
Yeah, that's right. Rod's going 5-0 in the picks every week. What'd you do this past week? We went 3-2.
You 4-1.
Yeah,
he's killing everyone.
Yeah. All right, so two teams that are definitely not 5-0 right now, Cowboys and Eagles. How big a game are we looking at? This is in Dallas, by the way.
Well, Doug, you just said it. Doug Peterson made it even bigger when Doug Peterson, he says he didn't guarantee it. He didn't guarantee
it. I still haven't heard the sound.
It's close, though.
Oh, we played it.
But he said it, no doubt. He said, we're going to go down there and win that game.
He said, we're going to go to Dallas and win. We're going to go down Dallas and win, and then we're going to be first in the NFC East.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a guarantee, but
in his mind, he was probably thinking we can win or something like that, and he just maybe said
he
it
He went
wrong,
back and
or...
said, he said, look, he said, what do you want me to say? He said, I'm a coach.
I'm confident.
And he said, I'm Jason Garrett. If he was doing a radio interview,
he was wrong about that.
He was completely wrong about
Jason Garrett
that,
would never do that.
Of course not. No. Well, Jerry doesn't let him do radio.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Oh, that's right. Jerry.
Don't be silly.
Jason Garrett is just to talk to the media, doesn't he?
Talk to the media, yes. Does he have radio shows? No.
No.
Jerry doesn't allow that.
Jerry has two.
Jerry has two. I don't think Jason Garrett even has one. He probably has one.
He gets to do interviews, though. He could guarantee something if he wants to.
Jerry does let him talk.
I think the response from him was, it was something really bad. They asked him about it, and he said something so lame. I don't don't know. I'll pull it up here.
Something very Garrettish.
It was so Garrettish, and it just gave you no confidence at all. That's crazy that he can go out there and make that kind of statement. And I don't necessarily believe it's going to fire the Cowboys up.
No. Mm. No, absolutely not. I don't know that anything he does fires the Cowboys up.
That's crazy,
unless things are going well. Again, it's got to be going really well.
Here's Jason Garrett's response to Doug Peterson's proclamation. He says, "We are excited about the challenge. They are a great football team. We are going to focus on the challenge to play great football Sunday night."
Oh, my God.
That is so terrible.
So Jason Garrett.
For all the
you should have just started clapping right there.
I know. For all the UT Cowboy fans, that combo, they must really want to get Greg Davis and Jason Garrett to an island. Maybe even together. Will you stop messing with stuff?
That's terrible.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I don't feel good about that. I do think that Doug Peterson's going to go there. I think they're going to win, too.
You think the Eagles win?
I think the Eagles are going
to
win.
The one thing the Cowboys are supposed to be able to do, because the Eagles have given up a lot of rushing
yards.
Beat them
twice last year, though.
Yeah.
And they beat them 6 out of the last 10 or whatever the number. But the thing is, the Eagles' rush defense is suspect, but can the Cowboys run the ball? If those two tackles don't play, heck, even if they do, there's just a feel on that team like they can't figure out. You know, they're still trying to work an identity in a way.
And yeah, they don't
know. Ezekiel Elliott does not feel like Ezekiel Elliott.
I agree with that.
Because I think I know what they're good at on offense, but now I'm starting to question myself.
Cowboys ran play action pass on 39.4% of their passes in the first 3 weeks, second highest in the league. Now it's down to 17.2% of their passes in the last three games.
And like you've talked about.
I don't know who the hell this team is then.
Faking it to Ezekiel.
I don't think they do.
No, they don't know.
That's what I'm worried about. Right. What were you saying with the fake there, though?
Faking it to Ezekiel Elliott on the first play of the game is still effective because he's Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
But he hasn't really been that the last couple weeks. Plus, this defense is getting picked apart.
That's disappointing,
Doug. Here's the key. This is the scariest part for a Cowboys fan. We all know what Nick Foles did in Philly. That story's amazing. This is the Carson Wentz show now. If they get Carson Wentz picking the Cowboys' defense apart, oh, Katie, bar the door, as my grandfather used to say. Because then you know, because everybody talks about, well, he was on an MVP run that year, Chad, before he got hurt. I get it. But if he starts picking this defense apart, now Marinelli's got trouble, Richard's got trouble, Jerry Jones has trouble, and the Cowboy fans all better duck. Because this is the one team that can take your dream away. This is the team that can do it. The Giants and Redskins are not a threat at all. If this team takes the division, guess what? You're on the road for the playoff game if you get in.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Ooh, Jason Garrett coaching on the road in the playoffs.
There you go. Jason Garrett outdoors in the elements.
You guys
want to get to the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's all
point,
you're thinking about at 3-3.
At this point, you got to reset.
Yeah, I agree. Right? Jerry Jones said that. He said, we're not a good team, so I'm glad he's being realistic. He said, we're not a good team right now.
Now, how about this? On the on the positive side of the state of Texas, Houston at Indy this week.
Mm.
Noon kick.
That's sexy.
Houston at the Colts. They're 4-2. Colts are 3-2. Chance to get a little separation. Both teams are 1-0 in division. And I'm getting chills just thinking about it. If you like nasty line of scrimmage football, watch that game. Because we know both those teams, they want to push you around all day long.
Yeah.
Texans have kind of found a run game. We know how the Colts want to block and run, and Brissett's pretty good. That's an interesting game.
To your point, like the Cowboys, I'll flip it to the Texans as a Texans fan. This is the game. They don't have Andrew Luck anymore, okay? So you can't allow the Colts to beat you in that division.
Yeah, you got
to
go.
They don't have
Jacoby
Andrew Luck anymore.
You.
Yeah, you can't let Jacoby beat you. Then it's like, oh, well, hell, Jacoby's beating you too? No. You're at the point now where Deshaun Watson, you're established when you keep him clean and upright, and when he is protected, he can perform like an elite quarterback. I'm not saying he's elite yet, but man, when he's clean, basically every game that he's gone without being sacked, he's played an elite level. Two of them have his shoes and cleats in the Hall of Fame, and the other one you beat Kansas City on the road. Without your two starting corners, when you gifted them 10 points, you started off the game with a fumble, you had 3 drop touchdown passes. I mean, you had every excuse to lose that game. But Deshaun Watson's the reason you won that game. He's just that good. So, you can't allow the Colts to beat. If the Colts beat you, then it's one step forward, two steps back kind of thing. You're not on the way to being a Super Bowl contender in a couple of years.
You're saying this is their game.
This is the Saints game. It is for them.
Like for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's their version of that.
Because that's a really good coaching staff. We know Frank Reich's a hell of a coach. We all know that.
That's true. And it's in division.
It's a little different than what the Cowboys dealt with. So he knows you very well.
And there's some
great game plan. There's some payback.
They threw you around last year, period.
No doubt.
They did.
They have a good offensive line. Yeah, they're fundamentally sound. Yeah, I agree. You can't lose this game.
Last week in the NFL, four teams won the turnover battle and lost the game. One of them was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Cowboys did too.
So at home, Cowboys did as well. Kansas City at home wins the turnover battle, and the Texans still found a way to win that game.
Yeah.
That is a big time effort. Hard to do in the NFL. Detroit did it last night, but obviously they had help from the officials. That's a whole different story. But that is a difficult thing to do. The Texans are great. And the other thing, Kevin, I know you you're enjoying watching this Niner team. There's a game coming in a 2 or 3 weeks that I'm really interested in. So the Saints go to the Bears this week. All right, Saints on the road again, 5-1 at the Bears. I'll be impressed if they get the win. The next 3 weeks, they play Arizona, the Falcons, and the Bucks.
Mm.
Winnable, can we all agree?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they could end up 9-1 if they win. And then in a 3 week span, they're going to play Carolina at home. Kyle Allen, they're playing better.
They're hot.
And they're going to play Kevin's San Francisco 49ers in New Orleans in about 5 weeks.
That's going to be sexy.
There are games coming in the NFL that we get to litmus test kind of games. Can the Niners go on the road to New Orleans and get into that game and get into a Saints-style game, depending on how it goes? Saints have proven they can win multiple-style games. Niners can, too.
And maybe the two best defensive lines, you could argue the Saints are the best against the run because they're pretty nasty. You found that out.
Heck yeah,
they
are.
And the Niners can just get after your ass.
I think the Niners is the best D-line in football.
Overall, I would take the Niners.
I think the Niners. The Niners, I think, talent-wise,
is depth.
It's, I mean, you got, what, 4 first-rounders on that D-line? With Ford and Solomon Thomas,
Joey Bosa and Armstead.
Is Armstead first round too?
I don't remember.
But I know that at least 3 first rounders on that.
One of the Oregon guys, Buckner or Armstead.
Yes, Buckner's a first rounder. So that's 4 right there. All right, here's a great stat for you about that D-line. So the 49ers defensive line, here's the formula. They basically like to win first down with that dominant D-line, force teams into throwing the football on third down, then let those D-linemen get after you. Last 2 weeks, teams are 1-24 on third and fourth down against the 49ers.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
1-24.
That's crazy.
On third and fourth down against the 49ers.
Is that what they call pinning your ears back?
Yeah.
Is that
so if you don't succeed on first down against them, you're screwed because that's right into their formula. That D-line is nasty.
And the goal line stand was FU.
And that D coordinator is intense, man.
Yeah,
that dude is intense.
And he's a real deal.
By the way, another team in the NFL this week that won the turnover battle and lost the game, the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
They only had one turnover, but the Niners made them pay because it was the dumbest wrong time for the turnover. 7 all, coming out of halftime, they just... Jared Goff just peed the bed and handed him the football. Niners go in and score.
Okay.
Never gave the lead up.
Jimmy G had a couple throws.
Never gave that lead up, though.
Yeah.
Well, they run the ball. They run the ball so well. If you get behind to the 49ers, that is hell because they just run the ball and they control the clock and they control the game that way.
And that's
39 minutes of time of possession.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the Niners and the Cowboys. You know, both teams were missing their starting offensive tackles. And, Rod, that can just wreck a game plan before it starts.
Yeah.
We saw the impact with Dallas, and Dallas still should have won that game with all the drops and all that.
But yep.
The Niners don't have McGlinchey and Staley, and it didn't matter. We got a lead, and our defense is going to hold on.
It's unbelievable.
And time of possession.
And I was talking to a friend of mine. Most people can't even name the majority of players outside the defensive line on defense for the 49ers, like the guys in the secondary and the linebackers.
Yeah, no.
They're kind of a no-name group, but they're so fundamentally sound.
They give you Richard
sound.
Sherman, probably, right?
Richard Sherman, sorry.
Richard Sherman's
go.
The, Richard yeah, Sherman.
That's
He's the
big guy. Name. He's the guy you know. Yeah, the big name. But that defense is still legit.
They are nasty. Also, one other quick note on the Cowboys. I couldn't believe this when I heard Aaron say it this morning, but there's some stat combo of like 5 stats in the NFL, the basic stuff about total yards, win turnovers and stuff.
Yeah.
If you do those 5 things, there had been 90 straight games where a team wins the game. The Cowboys were the one. So teams that do those 5 things are now 90-1 the last 91 games where it's occurred.
It's a damn shame.
That's how bad it was on Sunday.
Yeah.
Win turnovers, total yards, and I can't remember what all the other things were.
But they add up to where you win the game, right?
Right? You win it every time.
It would have been like if Oklahoma lost to Texas.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you.
Well, we won the turnover margin too. By the way,
that's true.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess I'm checking different boxes.
I will say
physicality, coaching, game plan. All
exactly.
That.
Time of possession is becoming more popular though in the NFL with all the high octane offenses. A lot of people are like, man, if I can just keep the
it's
ball out
defense.
Of their hands. Yeah, sure. Against the Rams, that's what the 49ers did against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what the Colts did one weekend, and then that's what the Texans did. Texans won it, I think, 40-20.
Yeah.
Time of possession. It literally is like, you know what? I'm just not even gonna give them a chance to explode.
My best defense is keeping them off the field, and when they're on, holding a bunch.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, holding a bunch.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you know when an offense never has tempo? When they're on the sideline.
No, they don't.
There you go.
Ever. No tempo.
I was still scared of Tommy Frazier on the sideline, but I feel you.
He was scared.
Here's that stat that you wanted for. I got it from Bobby Belt, TX.
Okay.
He says, NFL team since 1991, 90-1 when they win time of possession, total yards, turnovers, pick up at least 25 first downs, and convert at least 10 or more third down attempts. Cowboys are the first loss since 91.
Since 91?
Since 91.
When you meet all of those criteria.
Oh, my God.
Pre-free agency salary cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It was hard to lose that game. You had to go out of their way to get outcoached by Adam Gase.
You got to try. You got to try to lose that game.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Hey, some cleanup here, guys. You're right. Kyle Trask is from Manville.
Okay.
Nice.
He went to Manville
High. I did see that right then.
And
is that where Johnny went? Where did Johnny go?
No, Johnny went to
Kerrville type.
Kerrville, okay. Yeah.
Manville's over there in the Pearland area.
Oh, it's from H-Town, like H-Town.
Yeah, it's Houston area.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then Marcus Peters was traded, we said that earlier, was traded for linebacker Kenny Young. Good job, Sam.
There it is.
You're all over it.
Very nice, very nice.
Kenny Young.
I didn't hear that trade. That's a big trade, though,
either,
for them.
Yeah.
That's a big-time name. All right, coming up, we will get you the big three. Keep you updated on the Astros. They have a lead. We'll tell you how big it is coming up. Let me rephrase. We will tell you what the score is coming up. Then Rod Babers, still sitting in with us, Longhorn Insider segment coming. We'll focus in more on Texas as they get ready to try to figure out the Oklahoma game and then move on to the Kansas game. We'll get more Longhorn thoughts from Rod coming up. Don't move. It's the Horn. Sam Pika, always ready to get funky. What's up, Sam?
This is in honor of the 15th of the month, man. It's called Just Got Paid by Johnny Kemp.
There you go. Just Got Paid. I forgot who's doing that. Johnny Kemp?
Johnny Kemp.
Johnny Kemp. All right. Hopefully you just got paid since it is the 15th today. Enjoy your payday. All right. Rod Babers coming up with the Longhorn Insider segment. Chad and Kevin with you on the horn. And y'all know what's going on if you're an Astros fan. The Astros are playing right now. Let's get you updated.
Go Astros!
In the Big Three.
The Big Three.
It's brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Dan Slaughter, just like I did. It's 512-601-0303 or go to sinussnoringent.com. There have been two instances so far offensively where you might want to scream Go Stros, and that would be two solo shots. First, it was Altuve in the first, then Reddick with a solo shot in the second. Astros have had other base runners that they were unable to get home, but so far, those are the only runs of the game. 2-0, top of the fourth. Kevin mentioned it. Garrett Cole got out of trouble in the first inning. He had the bases loaded, but he ended up giving up nothing. So far, we got Severino on a little bit more of a pitch count watch here. He's up at 82 pitches. Garrett Cole, I'm seeing here, is only at 51. So that's a big deal if you're an Astros fan.
Yeah, this will probably be the last inning, I would think, for Severino, as he's, like you said, at 83. Mm-hmm. He does have two outs, so never mind. They may bring him out.
He may go again in the fifth.
May go in the fifth, but they're going to be watching him. I'd be surprised if he goes over 100. He's still, he's back, he's healthy, but he's still maybe kind of building that up a little bit.
So the question tonight is, does the door close in Washington, D.C.? The Nats can finish it. Patrick Corbin's on the hill against Dakota Hudson. That is a 7:05 start on TBS. Kevin, is it over tonight?
I have no idea. But I do know that usually I would root for that team to win to make it a series, and I will not be doing that.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, you and I are definitely in the same boat on that.
I have no idea. And it may already be over because the Cardinals, that's tough when you're down 3-0, man. You kind of know it's done. And there is a feel for the Nationals right now. There is a feel for them, and there's just a a mojo working.
Yeah, of course, we all know, if you know your baseball, only one team has ever come back from 3-0, that famous Red Sox team
04.
Over the Yankees in 04. It is the only time that it has happened in a championship
Uh-oh.
Series
Uh-oh.
Or a
Uh-oh.
World Series. A little trouble there in left field for the Yankees. Going to get a runner to second with two outs. Maldonado ends up on second for the Astros, so a two-out possibility here. A hit would bring home a run.
Sam, give me some breaking news. Right now.
Breaking news.
Giancarlo Stanton's not feeling well. So he's not in left field because he's him, and he's, if you look up injury prone in the dictionary, they'd be upset. The word would be, or the phrase would be, the fact that you've got him there. He's beyond injury prone. A quad, so.
Got a little quad.
I'm not sure if he's available
on.
Or not.
Little quad. Nothing wrong
little
with that.
Quad, little quad.
Little quad. Little quad.
Yeah, so that was what? Is that Brett Gardner out there that
it's
was
Brett
trying to figure that out?
And it just, I mean, that's a.
Ghost oh, he was stumbling around like a drunk man coming out of a bar.
Chad, if I asked you to take a route for a fly ball right now, you'd take a better one.
I think I might.
I know you would. It couldn't be worse.
I wouldn't get there. I wouldn't get there.
You wouldn't get there, but the route would be.
The path. The path would be better.
If I showed Rod how to get there,
Rod would be there.
Rod would have been camping under that.
No
Not saying I'd have caught it, but I'd have got there.
I'm not saying you would have either, but you would have got there.
I would have got there.
Darn right. We obviously talked about the Packers winning last night and plenty of Texas football talk as we continue to clean up the Oklahoma game and get ready for the Kansas game coming up on Saturday. If you don't know, it's a 6 o'clock kick, and so 2 o'clock will fire up Longhorn Game Day, brought to you by Coors Light. Rod Babers in studio with us for the Longhorn Insider segment. We do it at 3:30 and 4:30. Rod, how many times have you been back through Texas OU now? Did you do it once?
Oh, I've watched it twice. I might watch it one more time. I'm not going to dwell on it too much.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, that's what Kevin said earlier. One you want to stick with?
Yeah, I don't want they always say there's some movies you only need to watch once. Like, you don't need to see it again. Even if it's a good movie, you don't want to watch it again. Like, you don't want to watch Amistad twice. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, no, I'm good. Right. I got it. You know, it is what it is.
I've heard 12 Years a Slave is that kind of movie. Right? Not a second or third watch necessary.
That's exactly right. So, I might be done with it, but if I need to track something, I can go back and probably watch it. But I think I got the gist of it. I understand why we lost. I get it. I know what happened. Hopefully the Longhorn staff knows what happened and they can correct it. I think Jeff Howe put it best, and I said it on my show yesterday too. We just agreed on the Longhorn Blitz podcast. It seemed like it was an arrogant game plan on both sides by Todd Orlando and by Tom Herman. Like they were overconfident that, oh no, our guys, we can go in there and we can just beat Oklahoma without necessarily giving them a true schematic advantage and coaching advantage, because they didn't really have one. And I think they were very disappointed. I think that's why Tom Herman was so upset with himself, disappointed that they not only failed by not having the guys prepared enough in that environment, in that game, but in the process, it was shown that you were outcoached, because their guys were prepared and they were ready for the environment, and we didn't.
And
we
weren't
ready for
the environment. I agree with all that. As we said yesterday, it's easier to look more physical and be more physical when you're confident in what you're doing and you're not.
Yeah,
double thinking things.
Turns out it was false bravado, trash talking for Texas. They weren't that confident going into that game, because if they were, they would have executed the game plan. Even if it was a poor game plan, executed better. It was a bad game plan and executed poorly. So you had no shot.
It's a bad combo.
Yes, exactly.
You usually don't lose by 7 with that combo.
And,
getting back
to
that.
And that's why I was like, I think they were fighting hard. We talked about
the blitz. Fought.
They were fighting. It was just, they were in, they really were like inefficient in every phase of it, and they never actually were able to hold on to the momentum, I think, for more than a few plays. I can't think of a series or two back-to-back series where I'm like, ooh, Texas got control of this. I think Texas is on the run. We never had momentum in that game. Every time Texas got momentum by scoring or something like that, the special teams would make a play that was ill-advised, or the defense would give up a big play. We never had the momentum.
I thought there were two shots at it, and they gave up drives on both. When it was 10-all and they had scored to tie the game, I thought it was there.
Yeah.
By the way,
that was big.
I have never heard, I've been there a few times for this game, I've never heard the fight, half of Texas fight, be that loud at the Cotton Bowl. It was loud. Like, the press box was shaking. Those Texas fans were so excited.
They knew they had a shot.
Because they knew they had a shot in a game where they weren't playing the better game. But they felt it there. Immediately, Oklahoma goes and scores. And the other one is when Lincoln Riley completely loses his mind and doesn't punt at 20-10.
The fourth and two.
And goes for the fourth and one or fourth and two.
Does he throw the slant?
And they threw
a slant route?
Hit the ground.
Dude, run it. What are you doing? You're having like 8 yards of carry. What are you doing?
No, I've got your play, and I don't even do this for a living. Run a counter to the to the edge.
Yeah. With the quarterback.
I bet you, right. No, run your jet sweep with quarterback up the middle or quarterback to the edge or running back to the edge.
Guarantee you kick it up.
You're going to get 2 yards.
Guarantee you.
If you're going to go, you got to run there. But Texas had just gone 6 plays for minus 11 yards combined, I believe, in the last 2 drives. Punt, dude. Punt it down in your end, by the way. You'd be punting towards your fans.
That's true.
Make Texas come out of your fans again because they haven't done it well. Instead, he gives them great field position. And that's when I thought Texas could maybe grab a little bit at 2017, but then they let him drive right back down.
It's almost like he had the thought in his head that he wasn't buying if his defense was going to be able to keep this up the whole game.
That's a great point, too.
Yeah, you may be
the
right.
The way he approached the game. Actually, that's a really good point.
Going for it there to where it's like, three ain't going to matter in this game. And it was the type of game where you're right, Chad. I mean, to punt there, they couldn't kick the field goal, but to punt there would have been the smart thing.
Yeah, just stick them down.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Texas has been, they were their own worst enemy. You might as well just let Texas beat itself in terms of field position and stuff like that.
I was about to say, there's two good things. Yeah. One, they may try and catch it. And two, they won't. You're going to down it inside the box.
Exactly. Well, and Rod, you know better than anybody. You played this game. You know that the three parts of a team, they can, when you get that rhythm of one part helping the other, it's such a big deal.
It is.
Go back and watch that Alabama beating A&M on Saturday. One part helping the other. They had an incredible special teams effort, and when their defense needed it, something picked them up. There wasn't a moment of that game on Saturday where I felt like Texas had one part of their team helping another part, because just as soon as the offense gave me a little hope, the defense let them down.
Yep.
Totally.
And then the special teams was just burying you back further than you needed to be all day long.
Yeah, special teams just kept just shoveling dirt onto it, like just slowly. You're like, hey, I'm trying to get out of here. Like, nah.
Right, now we're gonna...
You ever been stuck in mud and you gun it too far and all you're doing is making this a lot tougher when all you have to get out and actually physically move this thing?
Exactly right, yeah. It did seem like that. But all the criticism and they deserve it. Man, it was right there for the taking in the fourth quarter. And it didn't seem like the captains or the leaders or the coaches wanted it bad enough.
Yeah. Chad brought up a good point. The captains outside of Sam really all had their separate brain fart mistakes.
All of them.
They did.
Maybe not Jones. It's not brain fart. He didn't tackle well,
though.
He just had a bad day for 19.
I would hope Brandon would tell you that. It was just far from his best
day. And Duvernay would tell you that was a brain fart.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's just, he's just trying to do too much, and it got away from him in so many ways.
It's hard to evaluate Sam's performance because the offensive line was so inadequate, and he was under so much pressure, and five drops by receivers.
I think he played better than most people think because of the drops.
Yeah, I mean, think about it.
He threw some great balls.
That Jake Smith ball was great. The Brendan Eagles deep ball was awesome. The Colin Johnson slant was round the money.
That Jake Smith pass, did y'all hear? I don't know if you're watching on TV. Joel Klatt.
That's pass interference, by the way.
Klatt was trying to figure out how to say how great the pass was without insulting either Smith as a receiver or mention the pass interference. He had to really carefully. But it was an incredible throw.
It really was.
It was an amazing pass.
It almost hit him, basically dropped it and hit him on the face mask. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
If he'd have went up with it with two hands, Jake Smith would have caught it. He was fighting off the DB with the other hand. It was a beautiful throw.
Right. And that's why.
And he busted up Eagles' face mask.
It is.
Yeah, he did. He did. You're right.
I mean, I don't know. Incomplete on Sam, but he did as much as he could. I wanted his Vince Young moment where he puts the whole damn team on his shoulders and just leads us to victory, but that was unrealistic considering how well Oklahoma's defense was playing, and he got Rojo, but other than Rojo, he got no help.
No, he got no help at all.
No help
y'all,
at all.
Y'all know that game well. Nobody wins that game by themselves.
Exactly.
No. It's impossible. You could be the guy. You can have your Clark moment, but Stoney didn't win that game by himself.
So, and VY Vince never
Vince,
won.
Vince lost 12-0 in that game. And
right.
I wasn't blaming Vince after.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're right about that.
I was blaming the same guy that I blame for this game, Greg Davis.
There it is.
Well done.
There it
Greg Davis jams.
Greg Davis.
The week after Texas OU, damn it, that makes me feel good. That makes me feel all warm and cozy inside.
It kind of brings you home.
It does.
It really does. You feel like a kid again.
It doesn't necessarily take a village to beat OU, but you need a buddy. You do need a buddy or two. You need somebody to help you out.
That's true.
Texas did not have that. All right, Rod Babers, weekdays 1 to 3 with the Rodcast.
Go home and watch this.
Go home and watch it again, Rod. Actually, yeah, go home and stress out with Jared Cole. Give Garrett Cole.
I'm watching Garrett Cole up there, baby.
That is right.
Keep dealing.
Garrett Cole just delivered pitch number 59 of the game. He's up 2-0 right now. We'll keep you updated. Remember, when we're done tonight at 7, check out Rod and Jeff and Matt, the Longhorn Blitz podcast. More breakdown of Texas and OU, and looking forward to the second half of the Longhorn schedule. Up next, Kevin's got a little one and done for you. We may even check voicemails if you want to slip one in. 337-3776. Don't say I don't mention voicemails. This is The Horn.
Really the few times I get loud.
Man. Funky. I'm going to tell everybody what just happened after Sam tells us what this is. What you got, Sam?
This is Candy Girl by the New Edition.
Oh, yes. Oh, come on now. That's way back.
A little ABC, isn't it?
Well,
there
certainly is a Jackson 5 vibe, but how dare you insinuate that New Edition would have stolen the vibe?
You've taught me well.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to where I can't enjoy any music. I just tried and figure out where it was ripped off.
So,
that one's easy.
Other than, like, I don't know, 0.22% of all comments you make on the show where you might be talking traffic and your voice might raise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The only other time when you're really loud, because I'm loud all the time, is like what you did just in the break. Out of nowhere, you'll just scream for a stretch,
and it's this orgasmic stretch.
Oh my
but
God,
it's a stretch.
Terrifying.
It's a stretch that goes to the next level. And the way to get it out is just to give a. I'm not even going to give it right now.
No,
but
please don't.
It's loud.
So the yell helps you do that.
The yell is the end part of that stretch to where it's releasing.
Do you do that in front of the cats?
No. Well, I'm sure I do.
I'm sure that would terrify them.
I'm sure I do.
That would terrify any pet.
You're really into the cats today.
Well, no. I'm just saying. I know that they're in. I worry about them in these situations if you're screaming.
They've been with me for 15 years. They're all good.
They're used to it.
They're more used to me than you are, and that says a lot.
Yeah,
that says a lot.
That's true. That's a good point.
Because that did kind of throw you off a little bit.
Oh, my Lord. That is loud. I don't think you've
ever. I felt bad.
You've done it outside. I think in the studio specifically, when it's contained in here, it's really loud.
Next time I'm going to warn you, although I stretch a lot, so I got a feeling now that I'm going to be stretching and you're just going to automatically grab your ears.
I need like a pre-O. Just give me a quick
pre-O,
little.
Pre-O, exactly.
An O, or we have a hand sign for some things.
We've
on
got
the
hand
show.
Signals for everything.
I need a hand sign for that.
I think I got one.
Give me something. That'll work. I'll be on the lookout.
I'll be on the lookout for that one.
Yeah, I'll be on the lookout
for that. Guess at home.
All right. Sam, do we have any voicemails from the people?
We got nothing for voicemails.
No voicemails.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
So remember, it's 337.
What a stupid idea that was.
3776. We'll check voicemails again at 545. That means we got extra room for one and done. Here you go. It's Kevin Dunn.
It's amazing what a quarterback can do for you. And as Texas fans, we understand that, obviously, with the quarterback position and maybe throw in the offensive line position. But watching Florida, this is a different team. Kyle Trask came in as the second or third string guy because they love Emory Jones and they love Felipe Franks, who Major League Baseball does too. I don't get it. Trask was there last year. Dan Mullen is the guy. If I'm a Florida fan, I would be pissed that this guy has come in and looked this good and you've been sitting on the all potential, all hype, no accuracy Felipe Franks. And I get it, the last couple days and the last year, I'm not getting any Christmas cards from the Franks. It's not why I do this show. It's not really what you guys ask of me.
You should, though.
But yeah,
that's why you should do this
show.
I
should. But Trask is, I was blown away, and I really have been, even going to the Tennessee game. My question was with those, okay, well, how good is their defense? Tennessee is the worst Tennessee team I've ever seen. But to go to Death Valley at night, and I rewatched that last night, and to deliver some of the balls that he did, whoa! Kyle Trask has taken Florida from a, oh God, here comes the SEC hype machine, and yeah, they're a top 10 team. You need a quarterback to be a top 10 team. They have one, and they are.
Kevin, I'm confused as an SEC fan. I'm watching a lot of games where teams score 28 and they lose. Mm-hmm. Can you please explain what I'm seeing here?
It's called football in 2019. Welcome to the party. Welcome to the party.
Because my Aggies just scored 28 in a game and they weren't close.
Right. Yeah,
they
exactly.
They were not close. And then Florida scores 20. And that was a good back and forth. That's a different kind of game.
It was.
But still, by the end, you score 28. You got beat by two full touchdowns in an SEC game. You know, when we're growing up, 28 points usually would win you an SEC game, but not anymore.
And the funny thing is the SEC should have been the first one to do this because the last 10, 15 years, they've had the most or the best defensive talent. They've had the biggest NFL freaks, especially in the front seven. Mm-hmm. Spread them out. What the hell are y'all doing?
Yeah, right. Why are you staying in the box?
Spread them out. Space.
Why are you crunching in there and just running?
Let's go 21 personnel.
No.
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 You want to toss not, right again? You've got three plays all based off a waggle and a boot and some play action. Spread this thing out. The thing, though, is you got to have quarterbacks. And,
true.
And as much talent as that conference has been accumulating, and I'm not sure how. I don't know how they've done it, but I'm sure there's
magic?
A way. Magic.
Is that what you're looking for?
Magic. But they haven't had a bunch of great quarterbacks until the last couple of years. And all of a sudden you add a Tua and you add a Joe Burrow and you add now even a Kyle Trask who isn't at that level, mm-hmm. but it makes Florida a hell of a lot more believable.
Tell you what, coming up on November 9th, when that game's over between LSU and Bama, I would love to get inside the heads of every other coach, AD, and around that conference thinking, oh, holy hell.
Yeah.
That's what we have to keep up with now?
Right.
It's a different version. A few years ago, it was, wait, LSU and Bama just played a 9-6 game, and that's the best our conference has?
Uh-huh.
Because the defenses are so great and this and that. But now, that's going to be like a 55-48 game. And you're going to have to keep up with them.
I can't wait. You asked me a couple of weeks ago. I can't wait for LSU-Alabama. I mean, that's going to be kind of what we're talking about on steroids. You know the team that is at that level with talent, but only scored 17 points and lost?
17 and lost. I don't.
Georgia.
Oh, that was 17. I didn't have their score in my head.
And Georgia, Georgia is still kind of running their old stuff.
Yeah.
That Texas and Todd Orlando was able to shut down and win that game. You know, Paul and I talked about it a little on the podcast. I'm curious to see if they end up having any regrets about not looking at Justin Fields long and hard enough.
That's a great point. Great point, especially if Ohio State continues to run and beat some big-time teams at some point.
I know they love Fromm, but I'm not sure if you put – it depends on the scheme you're running. That scheme was not good for Justin Fields. I get that, but it kind of gets back to my point of does Georgia need to evolve a little bit offensively? I mean, LSU beat them to the punch. Anytime Louisiana beats you to the punch in evolution – it's time to look in the mirror.
Unless it's food.
Unless it's food. No, you're right. Unless it's food.
Right.
Unless it's food. Certainly not Rhodes.
See, I thought that maybe this year there was going to be an SEC title game moment for Georgia where they really have to face something, face what you're talking about right now. Now I wonder if it happens in Jacksonville. I really do. I wonder if that Florida defense, plus what you're talking about with Trask in the offense, Dan Mullen dialing some stuff up, are they going to run into a cocktail party problem? And then it's like, oh my God. So it's not Bama or LSU that's going to do this to us. Our rival is going to show everybody that we might be a little behind.
That's a good point, and that could be it. But I look at Florida completely differently. It's not that Trask is going to play that well maybe every game, but I'm telling you, he had some throws.
I got to go watch that game.
And he showed toughness. You know, he's 6'5", 240, and he's got that MCL with the knee, and he's got the brace on, but he was putting his big ass and 240 down and putting his nose down and actually creating some contact when he did run. Not going to remind you of Vince with the agility.
Fair. Totally
big
fair.
Big limb
huge
there.
Huge limb.
But I like this kid, and this kid's got some balls. And,
yeah, he does.
And it baffles me. If I'm a Florida fan, I would want answers on what were you seeing from Trask. It better be James Brown answers. This guy hit the upper deck I-35, and he wasn't punted.
Worst practice player ever.
He
was terrible.
We don't allow people on the sidelines, kids, anymore.
Yeah.
We had two broken noses, and, I mean, it better be that, and That's kind of hard to believe. So JB may be a little more understandable.
So far, I've listened to all but the very, very end of that game. It did not sound like he went into Death Valley scared. It didn't sound like he played scared. I was listening.
He let him hang, man.
I was listening to the LSU broadcast, and you could hear it in their voices that they knew after two drives each way, this is a ball game. Florida can absolutely win this game. They were impressed, I think, with the Florida offense.
They were in a lot of changing out. Trask would come out. There was one possession where Emory Jones came in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it reminded me of 1997 when number one Florida went to LSU. And that was every other play. Doug Jones?
Doug Johnson.
And then Jesse Palmer.
Yes.
Back and forth. Stick with your guy. I understand he's not incredibly mobile, so maybe third and three you want to go Wildcat, but it brought me back to that.
Spurrier would do it every other down.
Oh, that game he did.
Oh, it wasn't even series. He'd go first down one guy, second down another guy.
Yeah, Carl Bull Reese, man. Chuck Wiley and Booger McFarland were your tackles in that game.
Look at you. That's well done. 5 o'clock hour is coming up. We're cleaning stuff up from a football weekend, and we're keeping you updated on the Astros. They are approaching the halfway point of this game. Astros still hanging on a 2-0 lead. We'll keep you updated on the Horn.